Welcome to Season 3 of Soccer Over Gotham, an NWSL podcast covering New Jersey, New York, Gotham FC. Hosted by Ruby Pinto and Gary Gibson. Welcome to Episode 78 of Soccer Over Gotham. Again, we have another great show for all of you. Gary, what do we have in this episode?
We have a lot. Gotham gets a point on a non-rain-delayed home game against Angel City. Gotham announces two new signings and two national team replacement players. We will introduce you to them. Mona Shim makes her return to NWSL play. Abby Smith makes one save and wins Save of the Week. Our guest this week is friend of the show, head coach Stephanie Savino of Morris Elite of the USLW League. Now, Morris Elite is heading into their second playoff appearance this week, so we're going to cheer them on during the break. But there's just so much to talk about, Ruby. Let's just get started. How are you?
Oh, my God. So same story as last week. Once again, I'm tired. But again, All for good reasons. Family's here, so just going around the city and here and there. I'm kind of like working on your sleeping schedule lately, like 4 to 5 hours a day. Not ideal for me, but I'm surviving. You know, the Today Show, I don't know if they do it every summer, but during this summer, they're doing like free concerts. And my niece is like super fan of the K-pop group Twice. So technically, We went out there in front of the Rockefeller to make the line to go see the K-pop group Twice at 2 a.m. to go see Twice. It was fun. It was quite an experience, but I was super tired after that. Again, yeah. But anyways, how are you?
Yeah, I don't recommend my sleep schedule on anybody. However, I'm going to start this podcast with a humble brag. I manifested a no rain delay home game with, at the time, a minimum of 60% chance of thunderstorms. Game day morning, it was around 90%. Yep. Been on quite a roll lately. As I said in the last episode, that Amoros is going to put Ryan at right back. I nailed it. Unstoppable. Wait till I see what I manifest this week.
Oh my God, I can't wait. That was awesome.
Yeah, let's get into the new signings. So many to talk about. Let's just get into it. So Katie Stengel is on loan from Liverpool Football Club through September 3rd.
That is so exciting that Gotham is bringing new players and players from other leagues. You know, Gotham FC has made another addition to the roster with the signing of Maitane Lopez. Coming from Atlético de Madrid, she brings a winning mentality, having secured La Copa de la Reina. Now wearing the number 77 for Gotham, Lopez is set to make her mark with Gotham and contribute to the future of the team.
Yeah, with Katie Stengel, you know what you're getting. You're going to play with a high motor that scores goals for fun. And she's been doing amazing things over in Liverpool. It's a perfect fill-in for this club during the break. And it's a pretty fancy national team replacement player for this club. And with Lopez, I think she is fantastic. I think she's a great deep-lying midfielder. She's going to do amazing things for this club. And it's really good to see how during the draft, Amoros said that he was really hoping to bring more Spanish players to the league. And we got one. Very excited. Unfortunately, did not make the World Cup roster. So she's ours from the jump. That's exciting. Get her onto this roster. Get her onto the field. Let's see what she can do.
Yeah. So we're bringing all these players. It's really exciting. And like you said, she is a national team member for Spain. Unfortunately, didn't make it, but she has that experience, you know, that international experience. So that's good to have her here.
Absolutely. Let's get over to some national team replacement players. We have Taylor Otto. So Taylor is a 25-year-old defensive midfielder and center back. She spent 4 years as the North Carolina Tar Heel as a center back. She played at every level of the U.S. Women's National Team, the U14s through, let's say, the U20s. She was drafted by Racing Louisville and was utilized as a defensive midfielder. The first season, a knee injury took her back a bit, took her out for almost 2 to 3 months. She finished the season with 9 games. Her sophomore season with the club, she only played 2 matches and then left to explore opportunities in Europe. She then joined Celtic, where she played 18 matches, scored 2 goals. She's been doing fantastic, and it's good to see her back in the league. Taylor is standing 5'10". She's a big target on set pieces.
That's awesome. And, you know, North Carolina has had a lot of great players come out of North Carolina. And just alone her height, 5'10", makes her a significant presence during set pieces, like you said, providing Gotham FC with a strong target to aim. For example, those corner kicks that we've been talking about week after week. So hopefully we'll be able to capitalize on those chances and opportunities out there. Gotham needs to take advantage of those opportunities. And with her size and skill, Otto poses a genuine threat to opponents when it comes to those set pieces play.
I'm definitely excited for her. I'm also excited for Sierra Hinson, another 25-year-old, but is also a forward. Highly decorated player at a Texas university, was drafted by the Utah Royals, spent her early professional career in Iceland. She's an absolute goal scorer. She scored 5 goals and had 4 assists in 9 matches for the Perth Glory. You know how I like my A-League players. And she scored 14 goals in 21 games for her Icelandic club Valur in 2022.
That's awesome as well. Everything that Gotham's been doing, it's been really amazing to see. And, you know, it's really exciting to see what's coming for Gotham. I believe she will be a true threat in the attacking line. Her consistent goal scoring ability adds a significant boost to the team's attacking ability, especially right now. We've been talking about how Gotham needs goals. With Lynn Williams being away, we definitely need her to help out with that.
Certainly do. We also have an announcement for Mana Shim. Obviously, she's been injected into this team. She's excited about being here. We want her here. And Mana Shim has been upgraded from an injury replacement player to a national team replacement player, which means she's going to be here for the season and not just short term.
I don't want to jump too early into the game, but she looked really good on the field last game against Angel City. I wouldn't be surprised if we see her on the starting lineup pretty soon. She has not played in a while, so it might take a little bit of time to see her ready for a full 90. But being upgraded from injury replacement to national team replacement, it's a good sign.
Certainly is. She definitely looked good. Can't wait for that. But let's get over to this game. Lesser Gotham, Angel City, comes to Red Bull Arena. Becky Tweed, Daniel Ball, Didi Heritage, and now Elizabeth Eddy. Angel City has not lost under interim coach Becky Tweed. Gotham broke a 4-game non-win streak last game out, and both teams are missing most of their national team players. Onto the injury list, Krieger is off the injury list, and Edmonds is downgraded to out for a lower leg injury. Onto the formation, we're to a 4-3-3. Up top, we got Goodman's daughter, Sheehan, and Ryan. Midfield of Long, Martin, and Zerboni. Jenna Neiswanger, Freeman as the defensive backs, and Krieger, Ellie Jean, and Abby Smith in goal again. Any thoughts on this lineup, Ruby?
Another 4-3-3, my favorite. I think they work better that way. I don't know why. But as expected, with the absence of the national team players heading to the World Cup, it was anticipated that changes would occur within the team. By the way, it's great to see Ali Krieger's return to the field.
Yeah, Freeman at right back was interesting. So these lineups are a lot of fun. They obviously keep us guessing. Of all the scenarios I picked for right back, I didn't consider Freeman, but she was fine. Basically, the lineup I drew up last episode, you know, without Purse because she's not 90 minutes fit yet. Amoros really likes the Jean Krieger partnership. I think they need to sign Ellie to an extension or a new contract. She's been solid as a center back.
Yep, agree. Come on, Gotham. What's going on? Gotham needs to extend her contract now.
Let's go. Let's give our overall thoughts and takeaways. So on the first half, it was a pretty slow first half. Angel City was going into time-wasting mode early. They were taking way too long on goal kicks and throw-ins, all of those. Maybe it's just their modus operandi at this point. The first shot on goal doesn't come until the 25th minute. And the biggest chance of the half is McCaskill getting behind Gotham's high back line, gets a breakaway, but Abby comes out big time. Gotham really isn't pressing in this half. They're more content with just letting Angel City play out of the back and just compress the field into really small areas. Every player outside of Abby Smith at one point was all the way across the midfield line. Your thoughts on this slow first half, Ruby?
Once again, Abby Smith proves her worth with a great performance in this game. And despite the first half being pretty even, I think Abby's exceptional goalkeeping skills played a key role maintaining this game 0-0. One of the things that I've noticed lately is that Gotham's defense have been beat by those long crosses, so they need to watch out for those.
Yeah, it's the game you play with a high line. It's just going to happen. But onto some player notes. I still think Svava is still having trouble connecting with her teammates. Only 17 touches and was pretty invisible in the first half.
Yeah, I thought I was the only one who thought that, honestly. Yeah, I have to agree. Svava had a quiet performance this game. I mean, despite her teammates highlighting her powerful kick, we have yet to witness this ability on the field.
Yeah, maybe it's not the right positioning, something, but something's missing there. She's got skills, she's got talents. Hopefully, it's just getting used to the team. Yeah, maybe she'll turn it around pretty quickly. But Krieger's return was absolutely welcome. A very solid first half, 94% passing out of the back, 12 recoveries in one half a play, which is incredible. Was one step ahead of Angel City's attack all half. This is a fun fact. Sydney LaRue does play for Angel City. I forgot that she was out there. She was held to 17 touches in 60 minutes, was nearly invisible in the first half. That means a great job from Ellie and Allie.
For real. Yeah, you're right on LaRue. That's pretty spot on. I noticed her after the game when she was taking pictures with her kids. Anyway, but I mean, she's a great player, but Gotham did the right thing to, you know, just neutralize LaRue and limiting her game. They kept LaRue in check, which was great. And once again, we're asking Gotham to extend Ellie Jean's contract.
Yeah. On to the second half. So Midge subs in at halftime for Svava. Gotham spends a lot of time just forcing balls over the top to Midge just to get her on the ball. The moment of the half and perhaps the match, Mana Shim enters the pitch to cheers from both Gotham and Angel City fans. Gotham has the better of the chances and ends up with 3 shots on target to Angel City's 1. There were no shots on target after the 65th minute. Gotham nearly gets too late, but Nicewanger's header goes just wide, and Delaney also has a great chance where she breaks through, puts her head down, and puts a ball just wide. It's a little unselfish and nearly gets one by DD. Just can't seem to find the net. Any thoughts on the second half?
My God, so close, yet so far. And Gotham certainly had scoring opportunities in the second half and coming close to finding the net on multiple times, multiple occasions. You know, it's so good and exciting to have Midge Purse back in action for Gotham. Like, she almost scores and she nutmegs an Angel City player. That was cold. That was ice cold. It was amazing. Like, I just love all these little things that Midge brings to the game. And it would be like cherry on top just for her to score. Because, I mean, it's been a long time that we haven't seen her on the field. Yeah, I think the second half was all Gotham's. They just couldn't make that goal, unfortunately. They had a strong performance, though.
They certainly did. And speaking, going back to Mana Shim, like, there was a moment in the 70th minute where she chests the ball down and puts a shot high. I have to admit, it like almost gave me goosebumps. She had a couple of really good chances. If she would have scored in that house, man, that would have been craziness. Oof.
She also created nice passes for the team to move forward. I think her presence was truly impactful in just her first game with Gotham.
And I think it was a good plan to keep feeding Midge. She looked a little bit rusty at first, but she got better with each touch. I think Megan Reed was just getting torched. The quicker we can get Midge back up to speed, the better she can be. But, you know, obviously she needs some help. She can't do it alone. I'm hoping that some of these new players that Gotham's bringing in can fill that gap until our players return.
Yeah, definitely agree. I completely agree with you. Midge Purse needs some help. And the timing of Gotham's new signings couldn't be better, especially right now, especially in terms of boosting the team's attacking options alongside Midge.
100%. You know, I'm a bit disappointed. I think if Gotham gets one goal in this game, I would consider this game dominant. Gotham led in all statistical categories, another team that just could not get out of their own half for long stretches. Only 81 passes in our half.
Dominant. That's the key word here. But with the additions, yeah, if you guys don't know, there was a little situation on Twitter with Jenna Tonelli and some guy like about the game. If you guys want to know about it, just go on Twitter and find out. It was kind of ridiculous. Anyway, Gotham has been dominant for the game with the additions Gotham will have, they'll be even stronger, you know, in their attacking presence, and will have an increased depth to pose a greater threat. You know, it's really exciting, the development of the team, and also the fans are really exciting about all these stuff that's going on.
Yeah, how can you not be excited? The direction of this team is incredible, and I can't wait to see what they do next, because it feels like everything's going in the right direction. And going back to those signings, Gotham's not playing around. They are filling in with the best available talent, and they're leveling up. And I'm so excited to take this ride.
They're leveling up, and they're bringing like the standard even higher. So that's really good.
And even just on Lopez, there were big teams that wanted her on their roster.
Yeah,
and she chose Gotham, so it's a big boost to this team, and it's showing us as a destination, and I like where that is going. All right, defensively, I think this is a pretty good game. Despite all the moving parts on defense, any game where you allow one shot on target is a pretty good one. So it was a very good game for Mandy and Ryan filling in.
Yeah, Mandy and Ryan's performances in filling defensive roles were exceptional. Their performances were valuable in maintaining a solid defense line in this game with Angel City.
Yeah, and just defend from the front. And Delaney, I think, is earning her minutes.
Yep.
She got dangerous with each run out that she's had so far. She's created three chances and created two big chances. She had three shots as well. Once she gets a little bit more comfortable, she could be special. So I'm asking her to be a little bit more selfish. In the words of Nicole Baxter, don't sleep on Delaney Sheehan.
What you just said right there, that's key. That's key. Once she gets more comfortable, she's going to be special. Like once she starts being comfortable right there on the field and she scores, I think that's going to be like opening the gates of goals for Delaney.
Yeah. On the play where she put the ball just wide of the net, you could see her brain going through the reads. As a midge is open, and that's her natural instinct, is to play other players through. But she puts her head down, sees that she can beat Dee Dee, and plays it just far of the far post. But just that little moment in her head saying, okay, maybe I can do this, is a good sign. And I hope that carries over into next game.
That was another moment of so close yet so far. Like, just so close. I really thought that was going to go in.
But the mindset is right. I think she's going to be good.
Yep.
Gotham is going all in on storytelling this season. Obviously going from worst to first. It's Krieger's last season, long returning from having twins, the Lynn Williams resurgence, possibly the best rookie in the class, Farrelly returns. Where do you even go from there? Oh, yeah. Let's bring Mana Shin back as well. Like, imagine this club winning something with this group of players. They all absolutely deserve this.
They definitely do. Like, hey, where's our reality TV show for this team or documentary? It would be so great. Like you said, this story is going all in with the storytelling this season. And honestly, I feel really confident they will win something. And Gotham then will be considered a top team. I think even with the rebranding in a certain way, the Sky Blue reputation still follows them. But I think after winning, something will break, like it will break them off from that Sky Blue era, and it will be more the Go Bats era.
Yeah, I can't wait. Can't wait till we can just close the door on that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get some post-game quotes. Mana Shim tweeted out after the game that this was so much fun. Thank you, Gotham FC, for believing in me. I love this team, and I can't wait for what's to come. All I have to say is that I'm proud to call the NWSL home now.
And just to add to that, if you guys didn't know, Shim was in the preseason with San Diego Wave. Unfortunately, she didn't make it. And, you know, for her to be here at Gotham, I think that's really big for her. So, and I'm just happy she's here. And I'm so happy that Gotham is giving the opportunity to these players to come back and do what they love.
Yeah, Absolutely. It means a lot to the sport that she's coming back. And it means a lot to us here on the show. We appreciate her. And yeah, we can't wait to share in her success with this team this season. And another post-game quote, I just want to shout out thanks to Jenna Tinelli for always transcribing these. I know it's not fun and it's not easy, but good on her for doing that. We appreciate her a lot. Freeman says that the players, regardless of their position, understand everyone's roles. She says Amoros does a good job of emphasizing this, and it allows everyone to rotate as needed. So for an example, long slotting to center back from midfield when needed.
Yeah, and that's just a statement to the team's versatility. This level of flexibility on the field allows Gotham to maintain a strong and cohesive unit, regardless of positional changes.
Yeah, he's been shifting players around, and they've all been playing very, very well. So it's good. Any stats of the game, Ruby?
So my stat for this week is 11 shots, 9 of those shots inside the box, and 2 of those outside the box. And they had, like you said, they had 3 big chances this game.
Do you know Gotham has not scored on a big chance this season?
File that under, that folder.
Yeah, we're scoring all these high degree of difficulty goals, apparently. But my stat is defense, 13 interceptions, 5 block shots, 1 shot allowed on target, and that's a breakaway. You can't lose if your opponent can't score. All right. Yep. Player of the week. Let's get over to player of the week over Twitter on Twitter at Over Gotham Pod. Fans chose Krieger. Yes, Ryan should have been on this. I got where I am in the front row is like I'm right there where the players like are warming up. And like I'm getting ready to tweet out the player of the match stuff. And I always get swarmed by 20 or 30 little kids needing autographs. And they all like look at me like I'm like wasting their time. I'm like, all right, let me switch. So I fired it out real quickly. I didn't think, and I didn't put Ryan on there. I put Zerboni for her 200th. But yeah, so I apologize for that. Next week, I'll be a little more prepared. Anyway, thanks to the fans who voted. Do you agree, Ruby?
Just to go on what you said about the little kids, you are really on that hot spot to like get autographs and pictures with the players. So I think you should move a little up next time.
They're so rude. It's like 5 minutes before the end of the game, they'll like walk out and just start staring at me.
They're like mean mugging you and like, hey, dude, move.
Like, give me a
Are
minute.
You getting something signed? No, okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I've been saying how you could tell of Krieger's absence and on the field for the past 2 weeks. And she did an amazing job. But for me, Ryan stood out in this game, both in defense and offense. So I'll give my player of the week to Ryan.
Yeah, a lot of good choices either way. Krieger was big time in the first half. And I think if she probably played the entire game, it might have went to her. Obviously, Abby getting save of the week and made a monster save. She, as we say every week, that she's making the one save she needs to make every game. She made another one this game, so it could definitely have been her. Purse was dangerous every single time she touched the ball. She was crossing players. Fantastic. She got really close to a goal in her run out. And I think Zerboni had a very solid match as well. Her and Krieger set the defensive tone for this match. They were both a step ahead. Ryan was tenacious both on offense and then playing in defensive spots she hasn't played yet. I was going to go with Abby, but you know what? I'm going to atone for my sins. I'm going to say Ryan is the player of the match for me.
There you go.
Yeah. Let's go over the standings. What do you think, Ruby?
So this week, the standings are as follows. So we have number one with North Carolina Courage, Portland at number 2, Oil Rain at number 3, Washington Spirit at number 4, Gotham at number 5, San Diego Wave number 6, Houston in 7, Racing Louisville 8, Orlando Pride 9, KC Current number 10, Angel City number 11, and last place we have Chicago Red Stars. Gotham has been able to stay in the top 6 teams all season, which is impressive considering the results of last year from Gotham. This is amazing. There's no doubt in my mind that Gotham will make it to the playoffs.
Still 4 points from first place, so we're not far off. There's still a chance at the Shield, albeit a long shot. I still think that is probably going to go to Portland at the end of this because Portland takes care of business. But we'll talk about them in a bit. There's an interesting observation I had. All the teams above the playoff line have a plus goal differential, and all the teams below the line have a negative goal differential, except for Racing Louisville, which has a plus two. So it means they beat up on somebody and then be keeping games close. So
yeah,
that's good for them. But it's just interesting to have them, the one team below the line, with a positive goal differential. Goal differential matters. But let's keep going with the 33 points to the playoff threshold, if that is still true. Mm-hmm. 11 points from our last eight matches. Three wins, two draws from eight matches isn't too hard. Only three of the remaining eight games are teams below the line, so that's interesting. Two games against currently above the line opponents, however, like this week's Portland and San Diego coming up, both happened during the World Cup, so anything can happen.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep, let's move on to our next opponent. It is Portland. One last home game before a two-week break. Portland comes to town. Here's how Portland lined up in their 1-0 loss against KC. Bixby is their starter and keeper. Their back line of Klingenberg, Mengus, Hubley, and Cuica. Midfield of Moultrie, Porter, and Coffey. Vasconcelos, Diaquila, and Weaver up front. That is not a very threatening lineup. Portland is a very top-heavy roster. Obviously, Weaver is always dangerous. I think that is the matchup I am most interested in. Whoever's playing right back, if it's Ryan, if it's Freeman, if it's Delaney Sheehan. All right, I'm going to stop doing that. But yeah, that's the matchup I'm looking forward to seeing.
Yeah, I mean, Gotham is playing Portland at home, so Gotham will have that pressure to win against Portland, or at least tie the game. Ideally, we will win and secure those 3 points to be closer to the playoffs. But again, we are in the World Cup season right now. So they're also losing some players like Dunn. Dunn is really, really, really good and threatening with Portland. She won't be there, so that will be to our advantage. But we're also losing a good players from our side as well. So this will be the opportunity for our players to come out and do their best and show what they can do on the field. And we also have new additions to the team. So it's, again, like you said, this will be interesting.
Gotham can jump as high as third, and then they can drop as low as sixth this week. Yeah, we would be tied with Portland if we beat them, but they have a plus 12 goal differential above us. So unless we beat Portland by 13 goals, high as we can get is third place.
Sure.
Yeah, right. All right. So what's your thoughts on this matchup, Ruby?
Yeah. So again, I mean, Portland has been a great team from top to bottom. Again, they have some players missing, so that will be good for us. But just be ready for more surprises on the lineup for Gotham. Again, because we have more players coming in, so it's going to be really interesting to see all of that that's going to happen in this game. They have very skillful players, no doubt, but Gotham has a drive and the willingness to fight until the end. That's something I love about our team. I think this will be another close match, and it will not disappoint. It will be really interesting and exciting to watch.
Yeah, I want to see Ryan and Midge start this game as wide players. That is a matchup I want to exploit. I think our attacking wingers are better than their outside backs, especially with speed. And both these players are actually going against their former club, which is interesting. I think Gotham has the deeper roster. Let's get those 3 points. Let's move closer to the playoffs.
Yep.
So what do we manifest this week?
So this week, I want to manifest a win, and I'm going to keep manifesting a goal for Midge. She was so close last week, but I think this week is going to be her week. What about you?
I got to be careful, Ruby. I'm afraid... with this power that I have. So I'm afraid if I don't manifest another rain delay free home game, we're going to get rain. So what should I do, Ruby? Do I risk it, or do I just play it safe?
Hey, do what you got to do. I think you should just risk it. Let's go.
Yeah, everyone's going to blame me anyway. So I'm manifesting a goal from a player that has not scored a goal this season. There you go.
Midge, Ryan, the lady. Huh?
Midge got a penalty.
Two penalties. I'm sorry. Forgot about those. She's been out so long that I forgot about those two goals. So Delaney, Ryan have been two, like, you know, that been their forwards and they haven't scored. So hopefully we see honestly, I want to see Ryan score as well. I think she deserves it. She has played so well, and she's been doing like the hard work on the field. She just hasn't scored.
Any random thoughts before we close?
I don't have random thoughts. What about you?
My random thought is, I think we all just need to decide on what Twitter alternative we're going to use, and let's just go and do it. I keep like getting frustrated and like signing up for whatever one is out there. Like I've like Soccer Over Gotham is now on Mastodon, Spoutable, Tribal. I think I'm about to sign up for like Blue Sky, and I think Threads is out today. I'm just hedging our bets.
Wow, Blue Sky. I never heard about that one yet, but I heard about Threads.
Yeah, there's a different one every week, and I Threads is giving me a little trouble trying to sign on. So maybe you have to do it since your Instagram is connected to that.
Okay. All right, we'll do Threads. So we're going to add Soccer Over Gotham on Threads. But I understand, I mean, Twitter, what's going on with Twitter? I was on Twitter the other day and they were like, you already seen your 600 tweets. And I was like, what the hell is going on? So I was like, you know, let me go on someone's account. Let me go to their profile and read from their profile. Nope, blocked too. So yeah, it was really frustrating in that part from Twitter. And I think it's just all about the wars with Mark Zuckerberg and Elon Musk. It's just ridiculous. We just want to like tweet. Let us tweet.
Yeah, just want something that works. I can imagine how maddening it would be for like your boss to just come in like randomly every other week with an idea and just like put it out there and it just fails miserably and he just has to walk it back within like a half hour to an hour all the time. That's got to be maddening.
It is. So yeah, it was frustrating. I bet everyone was experiencing the same thing. So I couldn't really go on Twitter and like write anything because what was the point? No one was going to see it.
Yeah, it's maddening. But all right, we're going to go talk to Stephanie Savino of Morris Elite. Now, on a personal note, I always say this, but when I was going to college and playing semi-professional, at that time, it was like the Metro Stars. And it was, you know, the Philadelphia Union weren't even a thing at that point. So it was either you played for them or you were making zero money. And I remember friends of mine that played for, you know, the Metro Stars reserve team and stuff like mm-hmm. that. And they would like hit me up and be like, hey, Gary, I just ran out of gas again. Can you bring me to my practice? It was like nobody was making money. And, you know, it made you not mm-hmm. progress as a player because you're not in those professional environments. So I have such a big, deep respect for the USL League and especially the USLW League for opening up opportunities for these women to play through college, play in a professional environment, take their skills to the next level. And just, it's such an invaluable resource. And I think about it all the time. Like, what would I have done? How my career would have been different if I had a thing like the USL going around when I was playing semi-professional. So I have a deep respect, and Stephanie is an amazing person and she's doing a lot of great things within the sport. And obviously you're going to hear how incredibly dominant Morris Elite has been this season. And I can't wait for you guys to like get to know her a little bit more. We talked to her last season, but they're playing tomorrow night and I want to see if we can all support them through their playoff run. It's important for them and it's important to me. So hopefully you enjoy the interview and support them Friday night on their playoffs.
Yep.
All right. Let's go talk to Stephanie, shall we?
Let's go.
All right, fans. The mission of this podcast is to not only cover the NWSL, but to be an advocate for the growth of the sport and to be advocates for the change we want to see within the sport, especially locally. The USLW League is an invaluable platform for the next generation of pro soccer players. It's hard to explain, but everyone that we've talked to about or who is involved with the W League has just been so enthusiastic and positive about creating an environment where these players are safe and can grow as people and as players. Last season, we got to talk to a special coach and advocate for change in the sport, Stephanie Savino of Morris Elite. I loved our conversation so much I decided to check in with her and give our listeners an update and give us someone to root for during our week break. So welcome back to the show, Stephanie.
Thank you so much. Excited to be here again.
Yeah, I mean, it's good to have you back. I know it's been almost a year since we talked. I think it was the first or second week of June we talked last time. And you were either qualified or you were just about to qualify. You were going into your last week, right? You went down to the wire last season.
Oh, yeah. We were going into a couple of big games at the end, and then specifically the Queensborough match. Mm-hmm. That was the big one at the end.
Incredible. And I think this season, however, I think you left little doubt that you're making the playoffs. Congrats on making the playoffs two seasons in a row and winning the Metropolitan Division.
Thank you. The back-to-back feels really good. We definitely had some good competition this season again, but it feels good to come out on top.
Yeah. Well, let's just jump into Morris Elite. First off, wow, Stephanie. Morris has been simply rolling teams. So for our fans who aren't familiar with how dominant that you've been, I'm going to read off some of the results, right? So 7-0, 3-0, 7-0, 4-1, 5-1, 3-0, 7-0. You had a 2-1 loss, which we'll talk about later. 0-0, 5-0, 5-0, and 6-1. That's incredible.
Thank you. There were a lot of pretty goals scored in those games, too.
Yes. So you're averaging 4.5 goals a game and 5.67 goals a game at home. So at least, you know, if someone comes to a Morris League game, they're going to have a pretty good time. Would you say?
I would think so. Yeah. we tend to put on a good show when we can.
Yeah. And you're also on the other side of the ball. You're only conceding 0.42 goals a game, which is also incredible. So tell us about this defense that you have.
They are outstanding defenders, goalkeepers as well. I truly believe that a lot of our defenders just don't get that type of recognition they deserve. But in just within the last 24 hours, USL put out the June Team of the Month, and one of our defenders, well-deserved, was listed there, Juliana Ryan. So, you know, we've got some strong defenders in the group and really smart individuals that just control the back.
Yeah. And your goalkeeping is very good as well. Tell us about some of your goalkeepers.
Yeah, I'm very blessed to have strong goalkeepers in the mix. And Arden Lembrick, she's been between the pipes for many of our games. Joe Chase as well, and Sam Constantine. We got her some minutes at the very end as well. And what I will say is they are very dedicated goalkeepers. We also have a goalkeeper from the youth side of things training with us as well, Maddie. And our goalkeeper coaches, we have two this season. Our goalkeeper coaches have been working them hard and getting them strong training minutes as well. So it's just been a solid foundation from last year and build to this year. And they keep delivering quality, I will say that.
Yeah, you've been quite impressive. So Morris was, again, good last season. You were good. This season, you've been on a whole nother level. So what do you owe that success to, or what do you say is different from this year to the last year?
We had 15 players returning from last year to this year, and brought on probably the same around 20 or so players for this year. And we brought new talent, we brought new competition, we brought new players that wanted starting time and minutes. So the environment became competitive for match day minutes. And we also have a lot of youth players within the training environment too, to get them ready for the next phase as well. So the overall just general match day minute competition is truly at its finest, I think, which drives players to compete even more.
And I catch the games on YouTube on the Morris, what's Morris Sports? Is that what it's?
Morris Sussex Sports, yep.
There you go, Morris Sussex Sports on YouTube. So I catch the games there, most of them. The thing that jumps out to me right away is how well drilled this team is. I mean, it's like clockwork. Your opponents make one mistake and then you just punish them for it. So how would you describe this team's like identity on the pitch?
The identity that we strive for is just organization. We want the ball. We want it 100% of the time. And if we're not on the ball, we're organized. There's specific keywords that we use to win the ball back. And players know that if that's a call, if that's a demand, then they get the ball back. So the best thing that we do is just maintain that organization in all phases of play.
And how do you make that work with, obviously you have limited time with these players. And how do you get them so well drilled? Are they taking this work home with them? How does that work with that?
we do preseason meets, so we'll have scheduled calls ahead of time before we even hit the pitch together. Before every training session and or week, depending on how well I can prepare in advance, every player gets the entire session from start to finish with the objective of each session. In addition to general roles and responsibilities that the role of each player should be fulfilling within that phase of play. So there's a lot of communication that goes out before we even get to the pitch per day.
And a team that plays well on the pitch is generally a team that is tight together off the pitch. So what have you done to like foster a good environment for these players to be friends and get to know each other, or those things?
I would say that's actually really hard in our environment to get together all the time because of how quick the season is. It's summer for everyone. I'm very blessed to have a lot of players that grew up playing with each other or know of each other after competing against each other in the college environment. Generally, you know, there's some that hang out or there's some that just see each other at training. And what I will say, though, is it's accepted. Like everyone accepts everyone whenever you step into the environment.
My first professional coach, my first semi-professional coach, our first practice, the first lesson that he taught us is he preached ruthlessness. If you can score 7 goals in the game, you better score 7 and never take your foot off the gas because the other team would do it to you. And obviously, goal differential matters in leagues like this. So is that something that you preach to your, because you've been honestly just putting teams away?
There was a game in particular where goals, I knew the staff and I wanted to hit a number and we didn't hit that number. And I think there was an emotional challenge that came with that for not hitting that number. So ever since that game happened, I never put pressure on anyone to hit a goal or, you know, make sure we leave the field with X amount of goals. The objective was every game to treat every game as it was, you know, new game, new day. There were the emotional lessons learned this season for sure.
It's always about learning lessons. Last season, it was a little more razor thin about getting to play. So like, what lessons did you learn going into this season?
There was a big game that we lost last year and we conceded 10 goals all season and unfortunately conceded 8 in our last match of the season. So the biggest lesson learned was making sure we had the right people to manage the end of the season. And that's where having a big roster became really important because you need players to get through every minute. Yeah, it was about finding the right players for the season.
And obviously building a roster is tough, especially at your level, but you still have put together a talented roster of players. Has success from last season allowed you to recruit other players?
I think it's definitely helped. There's players from last year also had heard of interest from players that saw last year's season. So that the friend of the friend is absolutely helpful. We hosted 2 tryouts this now, I would say 1 last year, 1 this year to get us through this season. And the conversation, the connection with college coaches, the emails that we just do like month after month, day after day is essential. So it really just like is a longer recruiting process than it is a season.
Yeah. And if there's obviously our listeners are from New York, New Jersey. If they know a youth player that would like to be part of your success, how would they reach out to you?
They can find me on social. They can find the club on social at Morris Elite. And a lot of our social feed is about the club, but also our senior team. So we would post about tryouts there, but they can also message directly to find out more.
And what is your range? I see some players from Rutgers, possibly right from Georgetown. Like, what type of colleges that are built onto your roster?
We have strong Division I programs and inclusive of Georgetown. We got Marist, you said, Fordham, Columbia. We have a few standouts from Columbia. So that program has given us a lot of success. There's also strong connections that we've made with specific college coaches too. So Columbia being one and sharing, hey, you know, so-and-so is doing well in this position or we got to work on this for her. So it's been equally responsive, if you will, where one is still benefiting from the other. So it's, yeah, we've got a lot of other colleges in the mix. great D1 programs.
Yeah, and let's talk about some of your players. Obviously, the one that jumps out is the one who's scoring all the goals, which is Claire Manning. Tell us about her. I mean, good strikers will score a goal every other game, but she's scoring 1-2 goals a game. She's been incredible. What can you tell us about her game?
She is extremely smart with the ball, and her off-ball movement is done at a pace that not many can match, because she changes when you need her to change, and she's there when you need her to be there. She's very talented when it comes to just her decision-making in and around the box. She knows where she wants to place the ball, and she'll get the job done. So she's been unbelievably trustworthy whenever we have her out there. And she's also guiding our players to where they need to be as well. So she's just that overall, that core player that we need out there guiding herself and guiding other individuals.
But a striker doesn't score goals by themselves. Obviously, they have help. Tell us about like Andakin and some of your wide players that have been so crucial to getting those results.
Yeah, our flank players are outstanding. They deliver quality balls. They provide us with a lot of speed. Whenever they have that moment to drive, we know that they'll go and we trust them to do so. A lot of our central players, though, have been a core to many of our goals scored. Sam Kroger being one individual mm-hmm. that has delivered consistent quality of play. I'm really looking forward to seeing her in game action at her college season in just a little bit. So it's been an outstanding group to work with so many lines and quality players that you can just simply rely on.
Your players, obviously, they're college level players, but do you find that some of these players are ready for the pros now?
I would say there are select few within the environment that are ready for the pros. I always have Gotham on my mind when I'm with some of my players, and yeah, I think they're ready.
Obviously, as a fan of Gotham, what is your thoughts on the turnaround from last season to this season with that team?
With Gotham specifically, there's more determination out on the pitch. I think we're not relying on one or two players as much as we had in the past. And we've got each line covered with talent. So I honestly just think there's a different drive and there's a different sense of competitive nature that they have and that they're bringing with each other too. So,
yeah, absolutely. And one of our players is her last season and she's a legend in the sport. What can you say to Allie Krieger and maybe her legacy?
Allie Krieger has continued to show this sport that strong women can compete at the highest levels and strong women can put shoulder to shoulder battles and win the ball well over many times a game. And she still does it with a fierce yet smile on her face. So she's a well-respected player in this game. And I would love to have her when she is ready for the Morris Elite environment and her post-NWSL journey. But yeah, we owe a lot to Allie Krieger.
We all do. All right, let's move over to your future, because obviously you have some big, big games coming up. One is tomorrow night, Friday. So as we talked about, you're going to leave tomorrow and drive down there and play. So tell us about this game. Is it going to be on YouTube?
There is a live stream link, yes. I haven't fully opened the link just yet, but I believe it will be 11 sports. And then we will have the game kick off with Rough Riders, a very familiar opponent in the Metro Division. So should be a good one.
Yeah, and going back, the first game that I mentioned we'll talk about later was a 2-1 loss to the Rough Riders. There was a red card involved, apparently. So what was that about?
This is a game that was many emotions learned from this game. Uh-huh. We did suffer 2 goals, then they got a red card. It kind of gave us a little juice that we needed to get back into the game. So started the second half, player up. The red card came right at the end of the first half. And truly just had so many chances and couldn't finish, and even one way too close to the goal line. So this was the emotional game that maybe we just needed to understand what it was like to face adversity and face challenges that we really need to have experience in. So it was a lessons learned type of day.
And obviously lessons were learned because you did finish them 5-1 in your rematch. So how much confidence do you have going into this match?
Feeling very good. I have strong staff that we've analyzed games and we know what to do. We know when to do it. And strong players that are very familiar with both of those games and what we need to do to get out on top. So have a lot of faith in what tomorrow may bring.
Yeah. What's your keys to success in this game?
I'm going to have a very difficult time answering that question right now ahead of tomorrow's game. I don't want to share too much, but the key to success on everyone's side is just manage the organization of the team. And that comes with emotions, that comes with physical challenges, and that comes with finding our beast mode mentality. And that's what we say. So beast mode is what's going to win it. And that's what we're going to bring tomorrow. That's the success.
Yeah. It's about being ruthless, right?
Sure is.
You got to take care of your own business and yeah, sure do what you do.
Yep.
Absolutely. And what's next for you? I know you're getting more coaching licenses. And so what's next for your journey?
Yeah, I'm in the middle or just nearing towards the back half or now in the back half of my A senior license. So finishing that up. Yeah, it's been an educational journey. It's been, I will say, I'm truly challenged at the moment doing my A license, working and coaching W League right now. My hope is that I've given 100% of myself in all three major things that I'm working on right now. So that will be the focus and taking next steps with Morris Elite.
Fantastic. We're going to be rooting for you the entire time. Before I let you go, last time we talked, you mentioned that you were into quilting. So is that something you've been able to keep up? I know with your crazy schedule.
That's awesome. Unfortunately, I have not been able to sew much, but it's always the fun fact that I use.
Yes. My girlfriend has an entire craft room, and just it's freaky sometimes because there's just like dolls hanging everywhere, and she makes doll clothes, she makes quilts, she makes crafts, and has an Etsy store and all kinds of crazy stuff.
That's awesome.
But it is. And also, I think last time we talked, you mentioned that you are making a lot of homemade Italian food. So what is your go-to, and have you been able to keep that up?
The go-to is always the orecchiette and with sausage and broccoli rabe. And have I been able to keep that up? When I can. That's the meal that takes a couple hours to perfect. And yeah, love that meal.
And also, you mentioned that the owner of Morris Elite had opened up a pizza place that you had barely tried. But so isn't this now the place to go? And what is this place?
It is the place to go. It's called The Shop, and the pizza is outstanding. The red sauce is delightful. So
where is this? Is this in Morristown?
It's in Madison, New Jersey.
Madison. Okay. Very good. All right. So sadly, it's the end of our interview. We wish you luck. We will post the link on our Twitter page and maybe our Instagram page to get everyone to hopefully watch you guys and support you. And we just wish you the best of luck going forward.
Thank you so much. Thanks for all your support. It means a lot to us in the club. So appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. And lastly, go win everything.
Thank you so much. Right. Appreciate it.
So for the fans, we'll be back next week with a recap of the Portland game. Then we're off until the World Cup. We'll be covering the World Cup with some very special guests. First up is Renee Washington of MSG Networks. And also, we might have Nicole Baxter back on the show as well. I'm excited about that, working on it. So can't wait. So are you ready for this World Cup, Stephanie?
Oh, yeah. So ready. Let's go, US.
Let's go. Hi, everyone. This is Gary. Thank you for listening and supporting our project. Here are other ways you can support the show and connect with us. First, word of mouth is everything. So please share our show with anyone who might listen. Also, please rate us 5 stars on Spotify and review us on iTunes. You can purchase our merchandise at the TeePublic store. Join in the conversation on Twitter at OverGothamPod and Instagram at SoccerOverGotham. Lastly, you can email your thoughts and questions at SoccerOverGotham@gmail.com. Once again, thank you. I'm old now.